New York Times reporter Denisha Smith has written a new novel called The Illusionist that's inspired by a well-publicized multiple murder case that roused the transgender movement. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The lurid real-life tragedy that The Illusionist is based on happened in Nebraska. But one of the advantages of fiction is that it allows a writer to transplant actual events to a more poetically appropriate setting. Consequently, Denisha Smith's compelling novel about an androgynous stranger who appears one night in a small-town bar and promptly reduces the local women into whimpering puddles of desire takes place in Sparta, New York. Sparta is one of those eerie hamlets composed mostly of empty factory buildings and overcrowded antique shops. In earlier centuries, like so many other upstate New York communities, it would have drawn followers of fringe religions and pilgrims in search of utopia. These days, however, as one of the novel's narrators tells us, the town is filled with drifting tourists, drug dealers, and people left behind because they couldn't get jobs elsewhere. People with something wrong with them. The aura of the doomed and eccentric lies as thick as dirty frozen snow around Sparta. It's the perfect place for a sexual outlaw to practice his odd seductions. As befits this quicksilver novel in which nothing, not even sexual identity, is unwavering, The Illusionist has several different narrators. The first is Chrissy, a gangly nurse's aide at an old age home. Chrissy walks into the wooden nickel bar one autumn night and spots a delicate and beautiful young man performing magic tricks for the bored regulars. Chrissy recalls, "There was something about him that just struck you right away, that made your eyes rest upon him and made you puzzle. I know now that I wondered what he was. The question passed through my mind without being formed into words." Mesmerized, Chrissy introduces herself to the stranger, who says his name is Dean Lilly. And presto chango, before the night is over, Dean has moved into Chrissy's apartment, where the two live for a while like bachelors. One day, Chrissy sees Dean dressing and notices what look like faint breasts on his chest. He calls them a deformity and insists that, inside, I'm a real man. As if to prove it, Dean goes on to have an erotically charged affair with Terry, a young single mother, as well as a courtly romance with Melanie, the virginal town beauty. The two women, who narrate their own stories, give us further insight into Dean's allure. Melanie tells us that in a town where most people are too zombified to engage in conversation, talking with the articulate Dean was like love, like kissing. At the same time, she admits, part of his power over women derived from his way of holding himself back, of being mysterious, always keeping you wanting to know more. When Dean briefly takes over the narration in the middle of the novel, we readers gather close, expecting him, at last, to unravel the riddles his looks and behavior generate. Instead, he spits out a horror story about the price he's paid for sending out sexual mixed messages. It's a nauseating account of his rape by two town toughs who wanted to teach him a woman's proper place. Smith could have easily portrayed Dean here as some kind of transgender patron saint, but he's as morally complex as his appearance is visually confusing. Dean freeloads on his women friends and lovers. He manipulates and betrays them, even as he genuinely adores them. And yet despite, or maybe because of these flaws, Dean's sexual attraction is overwhelming. By the appalling end of this novel, when Dean's anatomical femaleness lies on view for all to see, Smith has also stripped away an even greater illusion that human sexuality is straightforward and fathomable, normative and neat.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.